We're going to be in Acts chapter 7 to start off with, and just remain seated. The message this afternoon is born out of two things. First, this is something that's been a burden on my heart actually for some time, and it's not a corrective thing, it's just a burden on my heart, and I feel like it'll be helpful because not only am I the one who needs to be reminded of this truth, because really I think for most of us this is going to be a reminder. It'll be a lesson for some of us, and sometimes it'll be a refresher because we forgot. And so I know that it'll be a help. If not for anybody else, I needed to be refreshed on this. And then the second reason is, Brother Chad, come on, dude. I mean, he's gone. And so now I have to do a sermon. So, I was a teasing. But looking forward to what God's going to do in our hearts tonight. Acts chapter 7, let's begin reading in verse number 54. It says, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. Remember I said this morning that in Hebrews it says, the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. So the word of God is a spiritual sword that cuts to the quick, cuts through all of the things that sort of are in the way and gets right down to the root problem that's in our heart. And that's what happened here. Stephen had been preaching the gospel, and he had called these Jews out as being rejectors of God. And they had saw themselves as followers of God, and he said, no, you have rejected God all through your history, and then literally you rejected your own Messiah when you hung him on the cross and crucified him. Well, this is their response. The Bible says they were cut to the heart. By the way, can I tell you, being cut to the heart isn't a problem. We all need to be cut to the heart. We all need to be touched and moved and convicted and brought to the Lord in that sense. But it's what they did with that conviction. And here's what it says. They were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. Now, it means that they grinded their teeth together. It doesn't mean they, literally were biting him in that sense, but they were grinding their teeth, and so the imagery is that they were angry about the message. And so I think the idea is when we're cut to the heart, we can either humble our hearts or we can get angry about it. And so they got angry. And with that anger, they rushed onto Stephen, and they cast him in rejection into a pit, which was what commonly would have happened. You study about Jewish law and the way they stoned people. They didn't do it within the walls of the city. They would drag them outside of the city limits. And then there was a stoning pit, and they would have cast them in there. Whoever was the ringleader or the one in authority behind the stoning would have cast the first stone, which wasn't a pebble or a rock like this. It was actually a two-handed rock. You had to have two hands just to lift it. And what he did is he cast the first stone, and then aiming for the chest of the one who was the guilty, the criminal. And then after that, all of Israel would stand around the pit and cast rocks until they are dead. So that's, if we can just maybe get a picture of what's happening here. Stephen's being stoned, but what was his crime? Well, it was the same crime as Jesus, preaching the truth, preaching the gospel. You know, we need to remember that when we preach the gospel, when we stand for Jesus, we are standing in a world surrounded by a culture that, generally speaking, does not receive the message of the truth. It is rejecting the message of the truth. And so the more you stand for God in the world, the more you'll have a kind of opposition against the stands that we take. Whether it's at work and you're trying to have your Bible and trying to pray and trying to stay away from the wrong kinds of conversations, because they do happen at work sometimes. And maybe depending on where you work, they happen a lot. And so you have to stay out of the faculty room, or you have to stay out of the, I don't know for you, Brother Eric, if you're having staff problems at work, it's a bipolar issue. Yeah. So we sometimes we have to get out of there, right? We have to get away from those kinds of influences if we want to stand for Christ. But then when you take those stands, then there's a natural kind of opposition that happens. Why? Because there are people that feel convicted by our stands for Christ. And we're standing against it, and it makes them feel guilty for what they do. Is it that we are set out to make people feel guilty about what they do? No, we don't try to make people feel guilty. But there is a kind of guilt that comes along with sin whenever it's exposed. And sin, the analogy is darkness, isn't it? And what does away with darkness? It's the light, isn't it? And when you're shining the light, it makes people uncomfortable. And so there's that opposition that's there, whether it's a stand you take at work or a stand you take at school. Like even my guys, you know, in the homeschool, they have to take a stand for the Lord because their brothers aren't doing right. And that's true. That happens even at our house, you know. But certainly, Brayson and others who go to a public school and, you know, you have to take those stands for the Lord, don't you? It's true, isn't it? You know. So there's an opposition that comes, a kind of cutting to the heart that happens at times when you're standing. If you don't stand out at all, then there won't be much opposition, will there? But you're also not shining a light. And we're called to shine a light, to be a reflection of Jesus in this world. And so there was that opposition that was there, and it showed up in Stephen's life. What was happening to those that he was preaching? The Bible says they were cut to the heart. Look at chapter 9 with me. Acts 9. We see in verse 1, we're introduced to Saul, who later became the Apostle Paul, great man of God. But here it says he breathed out threatening and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. So he was opposed to the gospel. He was opposed to Christianity. And so when he was on this Damascus road, the Bible says that heaven showed up. The Bible says that the light shined and it threw him to the ground. Jesus showed up. And the Bible says, or Jesus said to Saul, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And then he said this, "It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks of God in the heart of the lost." God pricks people. That's conviction. God does that. Now remember what I said earlier. Stephen was preaching and they were cut to the heart. So we're using different analogies, but we're making the same point. It's a cut to the heart or it's a prick to the heart. Say it as you will. Here's what it means. You stand for God. You shine the light. You preach the gospel. You tell people the truth. God pricks hearts. You can, you know, listen, we stand, we preach, we live for God, we shine the light, but we cannot respond for people. They are touched by God. They respond either with humility and a receptive kind of spirit, or they usually respond the other way, which is anger. Now, it describes that they gnash on him with their teeth, that is Stephen. Here in verse 1, Saul had been pricked because Jesus said, "It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks," meaning that God had been pricking his heart and he was kicking against God's pricks. But it was the message that pricked him. It was the gospel that pricked him. Now I want to help us. We need to be reminded about this. Whenever it says that they gnashed on him, was it talking about God? They were gnashing on God with their teeth. Who did they gnash on? Who did they throw the rocks at? It was Stephen. Is Stephen the one that pricked their hearts, though? What did Stephen do? He just preached. He just said the truth. And whenever they opposed the truth, they gnashed on Stephen. They threw rocks at Stephen. The Bible says that Saul was kicking against, Jesus said, you're kicking against my pricks. Well, we know that it was Jesus who was pricking him. But when Saul kicked, who do you think he kicked? He kicked the people who were giving the gospel. That's the implication. You study it, the Bible, Jesus even warned us that we'll experience persecution. Why? Why will we be persecuted? Because we give the truth. We stand for the gospel. We stand for God. We preach the truth. And it can't be guaranteed that because people hear the truth, because it's true, they'll just want to do it. No. And it also isn't a guarantee that if they don't want to do it, that they'll go away quietly. You know, because if they don't want to do it, then they're probably not going to hang around a place where they keep hearing it. But it's not often true that they go away quietly, is it? There's kicking and gnashing, motivated by an internal feeling called anger. And generally, you know why that is? It's not because of an offense. It's not because of something in the ministry that we messed up and we did wrong. No, no, no. It's because God's pricking and they're kicking against it. And it hurts, doesn't it? Now I want to help us and we're going to be done. See how short this is? It hurts whenever people kick against God because we feel it, don't we? So what do? I think maybe the best thing to do is just follow the examples of the men who felt it before we did. They just kept on going. All the way to the end, whether you're Stephen, Jesus, and you die for it, or you're Paul, or others. Because Paul, he kicked against the pricks and hurt a lot of people along the way until he got saved. And then he was actually persecuted all through his ministry, and he felt it. You know, we don't experience constant persecution and anguish and hurt because of those that kick against God. But I'm just telling you, it's a part of what we do. It's a part of living for God and standing for God and moving forward for God, is that there are times when we just, what are we doing wrong? What are we doing? We're not doing anything wrong. As a matter of fact, we're doing everything right. And because we're giving the truth and we're saying, remember, Brother Josh, you have no idea about your sermon that you did. Yeah, our offering time, that was a sermon. And I loved it. You have no idea that when you even just quoted the words to that great song, Preacher, Tell It How It Is. Don't tell us, I don't remember the words, but you know, don't tell us what we want to hear. Tell us how it is. Don't make us feel good. Tell us what we need to hear. That's what telling the truth means. And that's what we do here. And just know that from time to time, as we tell the truth and we preach the truth and we say it, God, this is what you want us to say, and we're saying it how you want us to say it, and we're doing it because we love people like you love people, and we know that this is the only way that people can get their hearts right with you, so we're just doing what you want. And we do that, and people kick against God, and it hurts. So we just keep going. We just keep going. We keep being faithful. We keep loving. We feel that hurt, yes, but what are we going to do because of it? We're going to keep going. We're going to keep telling the truth. And we're going to be here. If somebody goes away, listen. If somebody goes away because they're struggling and they're kicking against God, then whenever they want to come back, guess where we're going to be? Right here. And we're going to be like this because we want you back. We didn't want you to go. We want you back. The problem isn't between you and me. The problem is 100% between you and God. And whenever you're ready to come back, we're right here ready. Amen. Now, that happens to others. It happens to us. But I want to encourage, it happens to us meaning this. Sometimes we're the ones kicking against God, aren't we? And it hurts. It hurts others. It hurts the people we love. Do you know that sometimes when you're kicking against God, the people you hurt the most are the people that you love the most? So we can do it too. But I wanted to encourage us with this thought. It doesn't mean we're doing something wrong. If somebody is kicking against God, as a matter of fact, it could be that that's happening because we're doing something right. So what do? We just keep doing what we're doing. Now, if we've done something wrong, we're going to get it right, aren't we? We're going to admit it because we don't have any pride about this. Did we do something wrong? Then we're going to admit it. We're going to repent. We're going to get it right. But if we're not doing it wrong, if we're just saying it how it is, and we need to keep doing that, then that's what we're going to keep doing. With love and open arms. Let me give you one verse and we're done. See? We're almost done. Go to Samuel with me. 1 Samuel 8. 1 Samuel 8. And we're going to finish with this. Which actually needs to happen because of that turkey we ate, you know? Mercy. 1 Samuel 8. Now this is a sad story, really. But it's actually a story of God's mercy, His grace, but also there's a sad sort of twist to it. And I want to show you this. Now, before you get to reading, let me have your attention. I'll just give you a real snippet here so you know what's happening. I'll read the verse, and then we're going to have invitation. I promise you that. What's happening here is Israel has rejected God. They've rejected Him. Now, that's not a new thing. They so often did that. Through the judges, the judge would come and save them after they cried after God, and then they would go away from God, and it was just this awful sort of crazy cycle that they kept going through. You know, right with God, wrong with God. Right with God, wrong with God. You know, and so they're going through that, but they get to the end of it, and they started to say this: "We want a king." And it's like this chant: "We want a king." And so God said to Samuel, "Give them a king." Now you might think because God went ahead and went through with it, that was a good thing, but it wasn't a good thing. Because they got Saul. King Saul was a real problem. It wasn't until David that we saw God really start to work. At the beginning of Saul's reign, it was good. But he ended up being a good thing for Israel. Now, why did this happen? Now our verse, and I'm going to read this and we'll be done, verse 7. And this is the issue that's in people's lives and why there's kicking against God that happens. "And the Lord said unto Samuel, hearken unto the voice of the people and all that they say unto thee." In other words, make a king. "For they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them." That's what I want you to know. If we're doing right, if you're doing right, if you're doing the right thing, and somebody is kicking against and running away, and their spirit isn't good, and you might wonder, what did I do wrong? Here's what God says to you. They're not fighting against you. They haven't rejected you. God says, they have rejected me. And you know what? He can handle it way better than we can. He can bring them back too, can't he? So we just need to give them to God. We need to be faithful, and we need to be ready with open arms. Anyone who's struggling, come back. But I want you to understand, because it hurts, it doesn't mean you're doing anything wrong. We just got to keep going. We got to keep going. We got to keep going. Father, thank you for the encouragement of your word. The reminder that you can be doing everything right and still hurt. Not that we would try to make ourselves out to be ones who do everything right, but it can be true that we're doing it right and we still hurt. Thank you for the great reminder that it's not because there are those that have rejected us, but ultimately because they have rejected you. And we trust you that you can do in them and in all of these situations what we can't do. You can heal and you can bless and you can work and you can strengthen. But I just pray that you would help us to trust you. Keep being faithful. And we'll give you glory for what you do. Thank you for Jesus again, for your grace. Pray your blessing on our invitation time at this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand. If God's...